I'll get to your comments about looking after children in just a moment, but I want to find out about the swift. The swift has always intrigued me. I don't know much about birds, but the swift is the bird that spends an incredible amount of time on the wing. It is forever up in the air, and it's not forever because it comes to nest, but it spends a lot of time on the wing, and it can do incredible things up there, being carried along, I presume, in the currents of air. Claire knows more about them than me, and Claire Barnett is a conservation team leader with the RSPB. Hello, Claire.
Good morning, Frank.
Claire, am I right? Can the swift stay in the air for long, long periods of time?
Once a swift leaves its nest, it may not land again for 3 years.
Whoa!
So it is a remarkable bird that feeds, sleeps, drinks, mates, all on the wing.
The Mile High Club original is the swift.
Mile High Club, absolutely.
It's amazing. And is it just the air currents that are carrying it, or is it just amazingly strong?
Well, they will. They're only very small birds, and they will, of course, take advantage of, you know, currents. But they're actually the fastest number that we have in a straight flight. So the peregrine falcon, when it goes into a stoop, it has claimed the fastest bird. But a swift can fly up to 70 miles per hour. So it's a very, very swift bird.
Yeah, and, you know, they obviously get the moisture they need when they're up there in terms of water. They can get flies, I presume, when they're up there.
They will feed on airborne insects, and they will get a lot of the water that they need from the insects. But if it gets very, very hot, you could see them flying very low over water and kind of just going across with their mouth open and just flying along, drinking at the same time.
Yeah, and do they sleep? Do they sleep in midair?
They sleep. What they do is they go very, very high up in the air. It was actually an air craft pilot back in Oakiness, maybe in the Second World War, and he was coming down to land, and he came across all these birds, but he didn't know what they were. But it was like 10,000 feet up. It was very, very high, and it was only when it came down, one of the birds got stuck in the engine, and they realised it was a swift. And since then, they know that the swift can sort of shut off half its brain, so it can kind of go to sleep for half of its brain, go way up to the safety of being very high up in the air, and get their energy back that way.
So when we do see them, where are they coming from? Where are they going to, considering they never land, or they rarely land in their first 3 years?
The birds that breed here will migrate to sort of sub-Sahara Africa. So they go way, way down, sort of into the sort of the Congo direction. So even Mozambique, that kind of way. So they're traveling a huge distance to come back to us. And then the big problem is for swifts is that when they return, well, there could be many problems, but one of the big problems is that their nest sites are being mostly unintentionally, but destroyed. So the swift doesn't make a nest as such. It lives in crevices and buildings. So they're very much an urban species. They feel at home, and they make their homes in our homes. So where you have a little gap under your roof, it can go in there very quietly. They're very clean birds, so you mightn't even know you have them. And they make their nest there. But because, a lot of construction and new buildings going up, and everyone's trying to be sort of more eco-friendly and careful about the energy in their home, all these little cracks are getting covered up, and the birds are losing their nest sites.
And should we seriously be worried about this?
You should be really worried, yeah. We all need to be worried about it. Swifts have declined dramatically. And this week is the BTO's National Nest Box Week, so this is prime opportunity to start putting up your nest boxes. And, of course, you can put up lots of different nest boxes for lots of different species. But the one species that is more and more reliant on new nest sites is our swifts. And they require a certain type of box. But there's loads of information online on the RSPB website. There's a huge amount of information and kind of boxes that they are required to use. But they will benefit the most because it's having a massive impact on them. So that when they come back from this enormous journey, 6,000 miles, they come back to Northern Ireland in May. They're only here for 3 months, and they are site faithful to their nest site. So they go back to where they nested last year, and their hole is covered up. And they might have to search for a whole month before they can find a new suitable nest site.
So if you can, when you're building your house, you could include one of these swift bricks in it, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, describe that.
Oh, it's so simple. So a swift brick, actually is just built in to your building design as any other brickwood, and there's just, it's obviously hollow inside, and there's a small cavity or a small open hole at the front for the birds to come in, so it's hardly noticeable from the outside. And of course, it'll last the length of your building, you know. So it's a really simple way. It's inexpensive, but needs to be sort of thought out at the early design stage.
Anything to encourage the swift. They are a wonderful, wonderful bird. It's terrible to think that their nesting sites are disappearing. When do they nest? And for people who are looking out for them, just asking you to describe this, because I have 100 pictures here, but what do they look like?
So the swift is a sort of a small, dark grey, little pure black bird, and it's very, it's sometimes can be quite hard to distinguish between house martins and swallows, but swifts have this lovely scream. So this is a thing you need to listen to. And I should have made sure I had one, but I don't. Frank, the call of a swift is a really, is a lovely, lovely scream. And when you hear it, it'll make you think of a warm summer's day, because that's when they really start to scream. And it's the most loveliest sound. Oh, it's just a nice, it's just a lovely sound. It's a lovely memory, and then it reminds you of summer. And they're very, very fast, and they come over in May. So the adult birds return first. So these are the birds that are 3 years old or older. And then they will be followed. So they will come, get set up, go back to their nest site or find a new nest site if they can and if there's one available. And then later on, about kind of late May or mid to late May, the juvenile birds come back. So these are birds that are 1-2 years old, and they will fly about in wee groups. So you'll see groups of swifts screaming across the skies, and they're the ones that will start looking for new nest sites. So they're getting just prepared to find new potential mates and nest sites.
Okay, you did mention the call of the swift. One of the awards I got in school actually was for doing the sound of a swift. I was
let's hear you.
Wait a minute, I need to put my tongue into the roof of my mouth. Hold on. Is that near enough?
I didn't hear it.
I thought that was very impressive there. Let me try once more. Trust me, whether you can hear it down the phone line or not, that's a swift, according to my producer, Ricky, who just recorded it off the internet. Thank you.
I can hear anything, so very good.
Cheers, Claire. Thank you.
Thank you.
So anything you can do to help the life of the birds, always very welcome to keep those fabulous feathered friends alive.